And now presenting Insight, an inside look at food, health, and the environment, produced by the MU College of Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources.
Hello, and welcome to Insight. I'm your host, Doug Randall. The goal of this series is to provide you with insights into the impacts of research and collaborations occurring at MU's College of Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources. With me today is Laura McCann. Laura is a professor of agricultural and applied economics. Laura, I understand that your research is mostly related to behavioral economics. Can you explain to our listeners what that might entail?
Behavioral economics is sort of a combination of economics and psychology that provides additional insights that help people understand individual decision-making. Turns out people have quirks. One of them is status quo bias. So a famous example of that is that most people want to invest more for retirement. And automatically putting people into a savings retirement plan when they get hired and then letting them opt out rather than making them opt in results in higher savings rates. And so, you know, it's a win-win situation. An example relating to social cues is that in San Diego, they put smiley faces on the electricity bills of people who did a good job conserving, and it turned out that the others started reducing their energy use. A lot of people have done research on behavioral economics and food. It turns out that people eat less from smaller plates. They pour less of a beverage into a tall glass than a short fat glass. They'll eat what's put in front of them. There's all of these little quirks that people can actually use to trick themselves into eating better. And there's a book called Mindless Eating by Brian Wansink that's fun to read and a real useful book on this topic.
I understand that you did a study on toilet use. What can you tell us about this?
So toilets in the U.S. work by pushing a handle down. So the hypothesis that my graduate student Jada Rocha and I had was that this would also be the default behavior for dual flush toilets. We conducted an experiment involving the new dual flush toilets that were installed in Columbia's City Hall building. So these toilets were designed by the Sloan Company, and you push down for a full flush of 1.6 gallons for number two, and you pull up for a number one flush, which uses about half that amount of water. The MU Engineering Lab designed these really cool flush counting sensors for us. Jade went down there every day and downloaded the data. According to Sloan, 67% of flushes would be up flushes, but only 26.6% of the flushes were. So people were using the toilets incorrectly.
So in light of those results, would you recommend that the listeners try the dual flush toilet, given that they can conserve more water if they use it correctly?
I certainly wouldn't recommend it for public restrooms. And I also, for individual listeners, I would not retrofit an existing toilet with an aftermarket dual flush mechanism, since the whole bowl has to be redesigned to work well with less water. So what I would recommend is that people buy one of the new low flow toilets, which only uses about 1.3 gallons per flush.
So what made you get into this type of research?
I have a research program that relates to adoption of environmentally friendly practices. Behavioral economics is sort of an extension of that. How I originally got into it was a farmer survey that we did of livestock farmers. There's a product that's added to feeds called phytase that helps animals digest phosphorus, and it ends up being a win-win because it's a bit cheaper and it also reduces the phosphorus that comes out the other end of the animal, and so it reduces phosphorus pollution in rivers and streams. However, only 17% of the livestock farmers knew that they were using it. So another graduate student, Mike Stallman, and I dug into this and tried to figure out why. And we found out that phytase was basically a default ingredient in the feed supplement. So, you know, the status quo bias issue was in play there. And it also was not visible. And so it ended up being a really interesting situation. So regarding the toilet article, I was at a conference about 8 years ago in Portland, Oregon, and I went into this public restroom And the down flush was for a large flush, and the up flush, which people are going to use more often, you had to pull it up. And so it was just a really stupid design, and it was so stupid that it sort of made me angry. And so that's kind of the root of this research project. And the other thing is I knew that dual flush toilets could be designed to be more intuitive because I'd lived in Australia for a while where dual flush toilets were invented, and they have, you know, very obvious buttons on top of the toilet that you pick one or the other. I would say that the bigger issue from this research is that how people actually behave needs to be incorporated into the design process. And I think that findings from behavioral economics can help in improving design of fixtures as well as all kinds of situations. The other issue is that many items are designed by men but used by women. So we focused on women's toilets, whereas in the public restrooms for men, often there's a urinal, which is what they would use when a woman would typically use a small flush. So designers need to know their users.
So that is our time today. I'd like to thank Laura McCann for being our guest.
And thank you for inviting me.
For Insight, I'm Doug Randall. For more information on this topic or to listen to this interview again, please visit kafnernews.com. That's kafnernews.com. And thank you for joining us today.
Insight is a special feature produced by the MU College of Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources.